Welcome everybody to the masterclass with Dr. Keisha Ewers, and today we're going to be talking about healing trauma through the chakra system. This is a very unique thing that I think Keisha has sort of developed herself with all of her wisdoms that she's picked up along the way. And if you missed her original talk in the summit, she studied Ayurveda and Buddhism, sexology, functional medicine. She studied pretty much everything that I know of. And so she does have a lot of wisdom from a lot of ancient traditions, and she does her own version of the medicine wheel as well. So she's got a variety of tools that she brings in. So Dr. Keisha, will you please introduce us to this method? And I'd love to hear how you kind of came up with it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. From starting working with people healing their trauma. So when I started realizing that the ACEs study, right? Like the big impact that trauma had on my own health and then the people that I was working with, I started thinking, wow, and this is why in my book, Solving the Autoimmune Puzzle, I call trauma the missing piece of the puzzle. So I've been talking about this and teaching it for years and working in retreat settings with people with autoimmune disease who were working on their genetics and their gut health and their toxic burden and, you know, all of the things that we think of normally, and the trauma component that sets off the nervous system, that sends the cortisol out, that breaks down the gut wall, that invites all the bad bugs to come in, you know, like, so just really making sure that we're working in all five layers of the Ayurvedic Panchakosha system, right? So that's how I started to conceptualize this. And then I studied with Dr. Gina Ogden, who was a mentor of mine for many years until she died. And I was interviewing her on my radio show a lot of years ago. And she was a sexologist too. And I was just trying to find the chair for my dissertation committee in my own doctoral program. And I interviewed her, and it was as if when I read her book, like I had written it. Mm. And I recognized Andean medicine wheel work in it from my own teacher, who you know, and from my process with him. And so I said, Gina, this is like the South American mesa that you're describing. And she said, yeah, how do you know that, you know? And so she actually had a Peruvian grandfather, and we went through all this stuff. And then right on air, I said, will you be my dissertation committee chair? And she said, I would be honored. And so she became my mentor, and I studied the wheel work with her. And she called it, at that time, integrating spirituality and sexuality. And the acronym was ISIS. And then that got hijacked. And so then she started calling it 4D wheel work. And I started working with that. And it turns out that, you know, some of the plant medicine communities that I study with are, you know, use that wheel. Some of the, like, I just started seeing the wheel popping up everywhere. You know, some of the Native American communities, I was like, oh, this is amazing. It goes in, you know, across the world, part of the, you know, the wheel inside of Buddhism, it's everywhere. And so that's where I started working with us, is this understanding of the wheel and the body, the mind, the heart, and the spirit, and then understanding like the energy of, you know, the, like, without safety, we can't move forward. So then I started thinking about it in terms of the chakras, like this is a way people can track it for themselves. Mm. If I don't have my root chakra managed, right, then I can't be doing spiritual bypass stuff and just working up here, you know, okay, like hanging out with the angels and chanting and praying. Yeah, it's great, but that's just to make you feel good. You're right, not really healing your trauma.
Right.
You're bypassing it.
So you came at a lot of this from working with people that had chronic illnesses, mm-hmm, autoimmune conditions,
and cancer,
and abuses, and these type of things, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is a way to sort of map out a process of sort of teaching and working with this stuff. So
right,
maybe for some of those who aren't familiar with some of the chakras and how it all works, maybe you give us a sense for, sure, for some of the qualities and how you'd work with them.
Yeah. So the root chakra is also, we can talk about attachment and development of the child's, you know, system. And so in the first 0 to 6 months of age, that's root chakra stuff. Right. And so if, you know, and this is what some like Erikson and Freud and Piaget, they all have, if this development doesn't happen well here, then here are some of the outcomes, right? And so I fold all of that in. If you're wounded at this state, preconception to 6 months, then here are the things that can happen for you, and insecure attachment, you know, and all the downside of that. And then you can have attachment disorders in any of the developmental states. So we go all the way to adulthood as crown chakra. And so each of the developmental states is talked about in each of the chakras. Judith did a really good job in East-West psychology. She did a beautiful book, I think in the early 90s, that put some of that together too. So what I do is I start with that root chakra, and you don't have to remember your traumas. This is really important. You know, people will often say, I don't really want to go back and open that up again. Right. I say, right. Yeah, I don't want you to either. You don't need to, right? What I really want to teach you to do is to track your trauma. You become your own tracker. So that, you know, I use the HURT model that I developed from my doctoral studies of healing unresolved trauma, of how to track what the meaning is you made up around that event, and the belief that got put in place, and the adaptive behavior. And so is that a maladaptive behavior today? You know, so in the HURT model, it has a bifurcation. And over here, if you keep doing what you've always done and you're not willing to self-confront, then you're going to have a lot of judgment and rumination. You're going to keep sending your sympathetic nervous system off to the races. And eventually over time, you're going to have organ breakdown, right? You're going to get disease. That's just how it works. And the ACEs study says that. Right. So that's that side of the HURT model. The right side of it is, I've been challenged. I have a moment here. I'm aroused, right? Now I have an opportunity over here to self-confront. If I'm willing to do that, to really have that compassionate curiosity and start having mind, witnessing mind, and doing some of this work that we're talking about, then I don't have to have what's going on over here. It's not maladaptive anymore. Okay, it's bringing something new from the wisdom that I'm learning from these old wounds. So we start with establishing a calm, safe place at the root chakra. We can do that right now if you want.
Yeah. How do we do that?
Okay. So I always think, and this is, you know, like Skylar needs to learn this. Every preschool child needs to learn this. If all humans learn this, it would be such an amazing thing. Because if we could each be taught that we can find a calm, safe, peaceful place inside of us, then we don't have to control everything out here all the time, right? The biggest addiction humans have is to control. And often it's from early trauma. Like if I just control this, it'll be safe.
A sense of safety. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so finding it inside of you establishes a ground of being that is ultimately can witness itself as safe. Unless someone's chasing you down a dark alley, and then you're not going to go here, right? You're going to let that sympathetic nervous system take you the way it needs to. But if it's something like someone's threatened your ego, you're feeling upset about politics or a football game, or
I've got too much work and deadlines
right? The dog's barking when you're doing an interview, all these moments where instead of getting uptight about it, you can actually drop yourself into this calm, safe place. So one of the things that happens is for every 5 minutes you're upset, it takes your body 8 hours to recover. Mm. So what this is doing is it's allowing you to go more one-to-one. Okay. So I'm upset for a minute. I can recover myself in a minute and I don't have to wait for 8 hours for homeostasis. Right. So when you're establishing a calm, safe place within, I always have you pick a place from nature, not your house, not some place where other people are. This is just yours. So it could be the beach, it could be a forest, it could be the mountains, it can be a secret garden, a meadow, a river, some place in nature that feels really grounding and very calming to you. I had one person want to do it in space one time, and I said, no, we're really wanting grounding.
You want, right? Like a nurturing aspect to it.
Nurturing, right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Very grounded. So for you, Jason, where would that be?
It's actually, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so it's in like the deep old growth forests.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I could just turn my camera slightly and you'd be there.
Yeah.
So everybody, unless you're driving or operating heavy machinery, if you can, you can close your eyes and choose your place from the natural world that's only yours. And go ahead and fill in all of the colors of this place.
Keisha, as I'm doing this, I'm actually noticing emotion come up. There's like a little bit of sadness and a little bit of...
Just witness that. Allow it to be. Whatever happens, just be aware of it and let it be there. And then the sounds. And the smells. Even how the air tastes on your tongue. And then what it feels like, the temperature of this place. Is there sun that hits your skin, a breeze that lifts your hair slightly? How it feels under your feet and under your hands when you're seated.
Just naming something here, I'm noticing my natural deep breath, like my system seems to be calming.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Jason is becoming in tuned and attuned right now to the massive old growth trees of the Pacific Northwest forest with the moss, the old ones that watch that forest. And you'll notice your body's rhythms will begin to match this place. And what do you feel while you're here? And Jason, I'll have you just...
Yeah, so I actually noticed, I noticed my body more. I noticed my digestion increasing. I can like feel and hear things moving. I noticed my breath sort of softened and slowed.
Mm.
And then the occasional deep sigh that felt very calming.
Mm.
Everything kind of just quieted down energetically.
So if you were to pick a word like calm or peace,
serene.
Or serene. Okay. So say your word of how you feel while you're here three times in your mind silently. Really feeling that serenity. And notice in your body where you feel the serenity. And where do you feel it, Jason, the most?
I feel it in my heart.
Okay. And then if you were to give serenity a color, what would it be?
Green.
Okay. So allow that green light to be there in your heart center as you're witnessing and embodying and feeling that serenity. And now from this point forward, anytime you say the word serene three times in your mind, you can drop right back here again.
Mm. So it's almost like we've laid the tracks neurologically of this, this emotion or this feeling, this embodied place.
Right. Not almost like you did.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and you did.
So every time I get overwhelmed or I'm, and maybe not every time, I don't notice it, right? I don't bring awareness to it. Sometimes I forget and I'm literally just trapped in my own overwhelm. But occasionally, and hopefully more of the time, I can bring awareness and come back to this place and it becomes a quicker. Well,
there's something intentional to do about that. So the next thing is that I ask for people to do is to set an alarm on your phone, just a little ding, just one little ding every hour for a while. Right. Mm. And whatever you're doing, you can say the word serene in your mind 3 times and you can drop into that. You don't even have to close your eyes. You can do it while you're driving, while you're surfing, while you're shopping, while you're engaging with your family. Always you can do it. And so you're starting to, now you've laid the tracks. Now you're starting to travel on them and you're really creating a beautiful pathway into that heart center, into the feeling of that old growth forest, you know, and you're learning to embody that at the drop of a hat. So you don't leave it to chance of hopefully I remember. You're really practicing traveling on that trail now.
I love that. And it's and undoubtedly, if you're doing it every hour, I think most of us are going to have some sense of unsafety, right? Of this feeling of unsafe. Perhaps not just to huge degrees, but on some level, there's going to be this unrest in my system where this practice can then help resolve. And even more than that, even if I sort of in my mind feel that I'm safe, even just practicing this is going to sort of burn in these tracks more and more, right? So it's a practice that is going to help in just like anything else. If I want to be a really good golfer, I've got to practice my swing. And the more I practice my swing, the more muscle memory, the more neurological pathways get laid for this exact same precision.
Exactly.
To do this thing, right? And so that's really what we're doing. Beautiful. I love that.
I'm learning to play the harmonium right now, and I've only been at it for 2 weeks. And I know that the fingering that I'm doing on the keyboard is going along with pumping the bellows and doing the mantra. You know, it's all going to quit being so awkward. Right. The more that I do it, and every day I sit down and I do it, because I know that just the doing is important. Like, I have to practice. I can't just do it by thinking about it. I have to practice it. Beautiful. So, you know, I think about it as like, I hike a lot, and here in the Pacific Northwest, there'll be these deer trails that will lead to water sources, you know, when I'm out hiking. And you know how many animals have traveled those trails by how compressed the vegetation is, right? And so if you want a really nice trail that's got no nettles and blackberries to scratch you, then you want to go along with a machete and keep it clear, right? And so you want to make yourself a trail. So you have to put that effort into it. It's whacking away anything that gets in the way, you know, that wants to overgrow it.
Absolutely. And so, and again, you've got a whole course on this, right? That you kind of teach this whole process.
That's that first process that I teach very first is to do that, you know, and we want to establish a ground of safety so that in the work that you're doing as you're healing your trauma, you have this place to return to again and again.
Right. That's critical. And I think, I don't think there's a human on the planet that I know that wouldn't benefit from something like this, especially for most of us who recognize that we have these things that we want to work through. This is such a critical one. And even if we have this sense of safety, right, I want to highlight the fact that we can deepen this sense of safety, right? And I think this is something that surprised me with the various levels of work that I've done is I think I've got something and then I recognize, oh, there's a new depth. And then I get to that new depth and I'm like, oh, that must be the bottom. And I don't know why I don't learn, but it feels like that's the bottom. Like, whoa, that's really deep. And then somehow out of nowhere, I get blindsided with this new level of depth or breadth. And I'm like, oh my God.
I used to conceptualize it as babushka dolls, like nesting boxes or dolls. And I would think, I would feel the constriction of the place I was in developmentally. And I'd climb up over the edge and drop into this place that I could see no boundaries to. And I'd be like, I'm free. Right. And then eventually I'd get to the boundaries of that and climb up and over. And what I started realizing now, even outside the babushka doll is, like under the ground, we have this mycelial network and we have this galaxy of stars that are networked and we're in between those two. And there's just this such a huge, limitless, infinite cosmic expanse that, you know, now I think, wow, and I know there's more, you know? And so it's that willingness to climb out of the thing that has kept you safe in That's your amazing. Mind.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And explore.
And so we don't have to walk through all of them because I'm sure the practice is similar, but give us a sense for how we graduate to these sort of next levels in your course and what it looks like to go to the second and third. And
yeah.
Fourth.
So the way I teach it is it's definitely not this way. It's a spiral. And so what we've done is we've established that root chakra safety. And then I do a practice about finding, like tracking the hurts, your beliefs and those patterns that you created when you were a kid. And so then we go into, so then with the adaptive behavior that you established for that, who is the part of your ego that was born in that moment? And we all have these really beautiful, like Richard Schwartz and internal family systems has identified this, but he wasn't the first one that this was based on voice dialogue, you know, of researchers from earlier, and then shamanic work from before that, and spiritual work with spiritual directors and their congregants, right? So this is learning the voice of your ego. And there are many of them, you know, so we all have protectors that have come in that they haven't come in. We've developed them to protect the fragile little psyche of the little child part who feels like maybe they won't survive, you know? So I have a really, really good protector. I call her the Iron Lady, and she, which I just realized is Margaret Thatcher's nickname too. It was the first time I realized that, but she will create this like iron wall around my heart so nobody can penetrate it when she's out, and she just like circles around it and she's protecting, you know. And of course what that does is it makes it so that I also can't feel, you know, it creates this numbness of get it done, like I can get stuff done, I don't have to feel anything. But I've totally and completely abandoned myself, my little child self, right? In the name of getting stuff done and not hurting. And so I've learned over the years to notice when she's out and to be able to allow her to stand down and to be able to say, thank you so much for your service, right? And then to bring the mother part of myself in to coax out the little one that's afraid and say, hey, I've got you, you know? And so you're bringing in all of your parts. We all have managers and we have judges. Oh my gosh, I had such a heavy judge. And so, and she's got like a bun on top of her hair and she's got pursed lips and she's just really nasty and has a ruler in her hand. She's always whacking it. So I got to be able to give her a retirement package and thank her for her service because she kept me from knowing right from wrong. And, you know, so relaxing these parts that can get in the way and run interference that are leading in front of everything. We start learning and identifying those parts and putting some personality to them that you're identifying actually the part of your personality. And so you're also identifying the ones who are being protected, right? I always think about those as the, like in the Nutcracker, whenever I call them the Voldemort babies, the ones that we don't want to see ourselves and we don't want anyone else to see. So if you ever saw the Harry Potter at the very end, the movies, there was like this decrepit little thing wrapped up underneath a bench in the train station at King's Cross. And Harry's talking to Dumbledore and he's like, what's that? And it's basically a disowned part, right? And so the Voldemort baby is the one that like the crazy, like, oh, yeah, women really have a lot around this one of not wanting anyone to think they're crazy or bitchy. It's this, for me, it was the stupid one, like the one that's not intelligent, you know, I'm not allowed to have a weak mind, you know? And so I was like, oh, come here, stupid one. You're allowed to come out. Come here. I love you. You know, and just being able to witness those parts that we just don't even want to know we have inside of us. I remember dancing downstairs one day and coming down my husband was doing the dishes and I had just gotten off the meditation cushion and I said, I just met my murderess. He was like, good. Should I be worried?
Congratulations.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to meet her.
Yeah. What you're talking about here is self-acceptance, right? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we don't even recognize how much of ourself there is, right?
Like it's actually even more than self-acceptance, it's integration.
Right.
You know, it's bringing all the parts together to the whole that you are. And right? You're not just accepting, you're loving them.
Right.
And then you're integrating them. You're saying, oh yeah, I've got a murderess. Yeah. You know?
Right.
And here's what would trigger her and being able to say, oh, but I don't need to have you do that. Right. It's okay. So it's the spiral aspect of this course is sometimes, you know, the things I'm talking about right now, where you're meeting the deepest, darkest part of yourselves that you don't want to see and you don't want anyone else to see or meet, you have to have a ground of safety there. You have to have a good, healthy relationship with power dynamics, not being powering over or powering undering the parts of yourself. So we talk about power dynamics in the third chakra before we get to this part in the heart center, you know, so all of these are important. You have to have learned how to track your hurt. You have to know what your beliefs are, your behaviors, and who's doing those behaviors. You have to understand power dynamics and to know whether or not you're powering over parts of yourself or powering under parts of yourself, or are you doing power with? So I teach all of that leading into, now let's meet the cast of characters that's you.
Right.
And you know, then you learn how to integrate them, become whole and love all of you, all of you. And then to be able to give voice to all of you.
Right.
In a way that, you know, is supportive of your life and your mission and purpose on the planet.
And so, yeah. And I think not to put words in your mouth, but to all beings, right?
Like
that's what gets to show up.
Yeah.
And then we can step into who we really are as we get to support not only ourselves, but all beings from a true aligned, whole, integrated
right.
depth that is continuing to deepen as we go. Mm-hmm. Right. So super important. And you've already, I think, given us a lot, right, in this very real practice of finding a deeper sense of safety on a more consistent basis and to stabilize that in our system, not from the mind, but from really in the nervous system and in our entire system. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you just mentioned them, but still these are things that if one has already started to look at these things or has the, even just the curiosity to do what you're talking about, they can do this on their own, right? They can start to analyze their own characters as they come up and recognize them and witness them and then do their best to find compassion for them. And so you've already given us, I think, a lot to sort of self-start in this process. And I think your course undoubtedly has a much more, but also a structure that allows
it does
to go deeper into this. So
9 modules of very beautiful. Supportive. Yeah. With practices and meditations and spiraling back again to the beginning and, you know, really making sure that you're not leaving behind what you've already learned so that you're integrating on a deeper and deeper and deeper level as you go.
Well, and this is a good time to mention sort of that second chakra, which is about support, right? And some of us, me, I've learned to avoid support and do things on my own a lot. Or when it's shown up for me, I have even a difficulty accepting it and fully integrating it, right? That's an area for me that continues to be an edge that I'm hoping to push. So this is an opportunity for those that feel like they can do this all on their own to really reflect on that and ask yourself if that's the real honest truth and if there's a better way to move forward, to step into a new pattern and explore what it looks like to accept this support from others that is very real. And even just the act of doing that starts to heal that imbalance or that maladaptive pattern, right? So it's interesting how this all works, that even your offering of a course is part of this aspect of finding support in this process. And undoubtedly, the people that are watching this are stepping into that or have at least started to really work and have a healthier relationship with that support, because that's what this is about is providing that support. So again, Keisha, please tell us what the name of that course is and where they can find it too for those who want to learn more.
It's Healing Trauma Through the Chakra System, and it's at drkeisha.com, but we can set up something so that we offer it at a discounted rate for your audience.
And, beautiful. Yeah. I was going to say we'll put a link, but if you can give us a discount, heck yeah, we'll definitely set that up. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
And a webinar that goes through more of it. And, you know, absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Dr. Keisha. You're amazing. Please continue to keep doing the work you're doing. It's always impressive what you've got to share. So I hope everybody's enjoyed this. Please put this into practice. I know I will. It's not a statement. It's an intention that I will put this into practice. So thank you again, everybody, for joining us. And we'll see you on the next one.